And now back to Feedback with Bill Saunders on 830 WEEU, the voice of Berks and Beyond.
Welcome back as we kick off the third and final hour of today's edition of Feedback, your on-air town square, here on the voice of Berks and Beyond, 830 WEEU. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders, along with Sean Tansky. Our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800, toll-free 888-401-0459, and our dedicated text line, if you want to text in your opinion, is 484-650-3373. And I'm honored now to be joined by State Senator Tracy Pennycook, who represents the 24th Senatorial District that covers parts of Berks and Montgomery counties. Senator Pennycook, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I want to start off, if you don't mind, and there are a couple of other things that I want to talk to you about, because I know that you have a background in the military, so I want to touch on a couple of topics that pertain to our veterans. But before I do, I want to get your take on Governor Shapiro's proposed $48.3 billion budget. Do you have any thoughts on that budget?
I do. We are outspending our revenue, which means we're at a structural deficit, which means that our seniors, our new young families with kids, everyone, I don't know any group that's not going to be affected by higher taxes. We are spending more and more money every year on these so-called programs that benefit very, very few of our general population, but rather kind of pandered to the base of the Democratic Party. And I got to tell you, just from listening to him and his secretaries over the last 3 or 4 weeks during budget hearings through the Appropriations Committee on which I sit, very discouraging. They don't even know what he's proposing. We asked about his proposed consolidation of community colleges and PASHE schools, and both the Secretary of Education as well as the Chancellor of the PASHE schools, neither one of them had any details.
Wow.
They both said, I don't know.
Oh,
well, that's not a good way to run a state. So we've got a lot of work to do to bring this budget back to where it needs to be, to protect our taxpayers from unnecessary increases in taxes and decreases in services.
Well, I understand that part of his budget includes new revenue streams like legalizing marijuana, which I assume he wants to tax. What are your thoughts on legalizing marijuana in the state and using it as a vehicle for increasing revenues in Harrisburg?
So we've already seen from other states that have legalized marijuana that the revenue, the tax revenue that you think is going to be coming, does not come. What happens is now people are buying marijuana on the black market and not paying any tax. I don't support legalization of marijuana at the recreational use level for a lot of reasons. Number one, that can stay in your system for 30 days. And if you're going to get behind the wheel of a car, if you're going to, you know, operate heavy machinery, you're impaired. And we have no way of testing for that. So I have some serious concerns. Other states have projected that they were going to make all this revenue and taxes from marijuana, and they haven't seen it. So I think that is just a false hope.
Another thing that the Shapiro administration is supporting, including PennDOT Secretary Mike Carroll, I understand, is giving driver's licenses to non-citizens, particularly those who have temporary protected status. What's your thought on granting driver's licenses to people who are non-residents?
So I'm absolutely against that. Listen, once you start legitimizing their presence in our country with a driver's license, that's one step closer to being a quote-unquote citizen. Absolutely not. These people are here illegally. If you follow international law, the only people that should be coming to our country for asylum if they're coming across, physically coming across the border, is Mexico and Canada. It's the first country that you step foot in outside of your home country that you apply for asylum. You don't pick and choose. You don't come up from South America. So no, I am absolutely adamantly against illegal aliens getting a driver's license. That is completely inappropriate. And the use of taxpayer dollars for that program is even more disgusting. You know, taxpayers have worked long and hard in the state of Pennsylvania, and they should not be paying for people that are here illegally.
I'm talking with Republican State Senator Tracy Pennycook, who represents the 24th Senatorial District. That covers parts of Berks and Montgomery counties. Senator, while we're talking about driver licenses, the governor also, I believe he did this on his own, unilaterally, created the automatic voter registration policy, which means that when someone obtains or renews their license and ID cards, they're automatically registered to vote. What is your stance on that particular policy?
You know, I was not too favorable on that. And what it is you have to opt out instead of opt in. He just switched it. It used to be you'd have to opt in for it. Now you have to opt out for it. And once again, it's done unilaterally. The governor seems to think he sits on a throne and can just make these edicts and get his will through executive order. And that's not how our government works. We operate with the House, the Senate, and the governor. And just unilaterally doing that was very frustrating. Unfortunately, we looked at the law, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it.
Now, the governor's come out with a new energy, green energy plan that I guess it's his version of RGGI, which was the regional plan that Governor Wolf wanted us to get involved in before a court said that it wasn't legal, I guess, from a taxing standpoint, if my memory serves me right. In looking at your campaign website from 2022, it showed that you condemned a vote in favor of the RGGI tax. What's your take on the governor's version of this now?
So once again, he's acting unilaterally. And when you start doing a cap and trade with carbon, you're taxing the consumer. Our electric costs are going to go up considerably because you're going to start having to tax the usage of the carbon. Here's what I think personally. I was just in Germany, and Germany and Canada for a conference, and these legislators were talking about how their governments have pushed so hard for only solar and wind that they have gaps in coverage. Well, they're having to fire back up their coal plants because solar and wind does not cover all the need requirements. Canada is going to portable nuclear reactors to cover the gaps. So we need to be very realistic. We are very rich in natural resources under our feet. Natural gas, solid energy source. We need to look at energy as a stool. Not one technology is going to cover everything. But if we use everything to our advantage, we can get some serious economies of scale, and we can also reduce our carbon footprint while not bringing more cost to the consumer.
Pennsylvania House Speaker Joanna McClinton, I believe this was last week, announced that she wants to see same-day registration and early voting extended to 2 weeks before Election Day. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm kind of speechless because, you know, the idea that you can register same day, well, how do you validate someone's identity and registration in the same day? 2 weeks before, if you want to vote beforehand, go down to your county voter registration office and cast your ballot, I have no problem with that. Life happens, you're out of town, you can't, you know, somehow can't get away from your job during the 13 hours of, you know, the open polls, whatever. But we've got to put more rigor into the process so that the people that are voting are in fact legally entitled to vote. They're voting once, and they're voting in the proper place. Once we do that, I have no problems with early voting. I'm a big proponent of voter ID. You can't get on a plane without an ID. You can't get a prescription without an ID. You can't get Sudafed without an ID. But all of a sudden, getting the voter ID, all of a sudden it's, you know, discriminatory. It's not discriminatory. It's common sense. And I think that's where we seem to be lacking a lot of in this administration is common sense.
In fact, we talked one of the first topics that we addressed on today's show was an effort that's underway by your colleagues in the State House to try and get a voter ID bill that's been languishing in committee for almost a year now, I think since April of last year. And they're trying to get it onto the House floor for a vote by the full House. What do you think the chances are? I know you're in the Senate, but what do you think the chances are of the Senate seeing that bill come to them after the House votes on it?
Oh, I think if the House votes on that bill and it moves over to the Senate, I think we will definitely bring it out of committee and onto the Senate floor. There's a lot of movement on both sides that want voter ID. Why would you not want voter ID? I cannot understand anyone who says, well, I think it's discriminatory to have voter ID. Why? You can get a free state ID card if you're not eligible for a driver's license. Having an ID is kind of secondary to everything else in our culture. That's how you do a return at Home Goods, and I'm a big shopper. If you have a return and you don't have the receipt, they need to scan your state-issued ID card. To me, this is just a non-issue. We need to have voter ID to secure our elections.
I'm talking with State Senator Tracy Pennycook, and your background is you're a veteran, are you not?
I am. I'm a 26-year U.S. Army veteran.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your service to the country. And one of the things, I want to talk to you about a few things that pertain to veterans, and particularly claim sharks. And there's a bill that is directed at them. First of all, share with the audience, I didn't even know what a claim shark was till I did some research in preparing for this interview today. Share with us what a claim shark is and what this bill is all about.
So claim sharks are organizations or an individual or an attorney that will approach a veteran and say, I will file your disability claim on your behalf. You don't have to pay me anything now. I'll just take your first check from the VA. Now, I'll tell you why this is a big issue. First of all, we have veteran service organizations like Disabled American Veterans, the VFW, the American Legion, Wounded Warrior, your county Veterans Affairs Office. They all have people that are trained on how to do a claim with the VA. These claim sharks, when they say, I'm going to take the first check, well, if you're a Vietnam veteran and you filed 10 years ago for diabetes and they, for some reason, told you no, and then you go to a claim shark and he said, oh, you've got to fill out this updated paperwork, yada, 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 that first check could go back 10 years. It could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. It could be tens of thousands of dollars because claims take time. So the first check is the big check. What we're trying to do with this bill is to take those bad actors out of the equation and make it so that you have to go to a highly trained professional through a veteran service organization. You're VA accredited. You have the best interest of the veteran in mind, and you're not receiving any money from the veteran. The veteran should never pay for this service. It's actually illegal. We're having to tighten it up because there's so many of these claim sharks out there. So we're having to legislatively basically kick them out of the market.
And where does this bill stand now? Is it something that's just being considered in the Senate? Is there a House version of this bill? And what are the chances of it passing, do you think?
So it will come up for a vote in the Veterans Affairs Committee in April, and then hopefully we'll get it out of the Senate very quickly and over to the House. I hope that the House will recognize this bill as a bipartisan effort to make sure bad actors are not exploiting veterans, but the House is a little crazy these days, so I don't know what will happen in the House. But I'll definitely be advocating for it to come up for a vote.
Senator, one of the issues that comes up frequently on feedback here are our homeless vets.
Yes.
It's a problem nationwide, not just here in Pennsylvania. But the question is, why is it such a problem? Why isn't our government helping our veterans who have sacrificed for our country? Why isn't there anything being done to help those who are left homeless and on the streets today? What do you say to people that that say that?
So I will tell you, I spent 3 years as the Director of Veterans Affairs for Montgomery County, and homeless vets was a huge focus of mine, and I've spent time on the streets pulling veterans off of the streets, and oftentimes it is untreated PTSD and mental illness from combat that prevents them from being housed. And once you can kind of bond with that veteran on the street and tell them, look, you can get better, you can get treatment, makes it much easier to get them housed. You have to remember, we were a nation at war for 20 years. So our all-volunteer force did multiple deployments, and multiple deployments of asymmetric warfare where IEDs can be in the ground, in a vehicle, on a person is very, very mentally exhausting. Combat is ugly. Combat is very detrimental to mental health. Sustained combat is very difficult to overcome. So I think a lot of young soldiers, it was just all a little too much. So rather than go to the VA, which is sometimes difficult to navigate, you know, their relationships broke down, their jobs may have broken down, and they found themselves on the streets. We need to do more to help them. Absolutely, they deserve everything we can throw at them to resolve their homelessness, but it has to be a wraparound service of mental health, substance abuse, counseling, the whole kit and caboodle. And I will tell you, the VA out in Coatesville, they do a phenomenal job of as soon as they identify a veteran on the street, they're making contact with that veteran and trying to get them into long-term housing so that they can address, you know, the mental health, the substance abuse, the combat-related PTSD. They do a really good job. But again, we need more of it, and we need it, you know, to be engaged all the time.
Well, is there anything in particular that the General Assembly is working on to try to address this problem?
So I know that we are looking at we're looking at different funding streams to help them financially get off the streets. And that's more of a federal program. Locally, we all work with our county counterparts in Veterans Affairs. Once they're identified, we try to get them into the federal system. But at the state level, it's really difficult, other than putting money towards homelessness and hoping that they don't fall through the cracks. I talk to a lot of veterans organizations that do a lot of amazing things without state funding. I think we need to put more state funding towards homeless veterans. That would help tremendously.
Now, I know another area that's important to you is property tax reform for disabled veterans. What can you share with us along these lines?
So currently the state affords 100% permanent and total disabled veterans with a property tax relief. But if you're not 100% permanent and total, you get no tax relief on your property taxes, even though you could be facing some significant issues. So I have a bill that would reduce the assessed value of a disabled veteran's property for the purposes of taxes. So they would get a little bit of a tax break. So if you're disabled from 10% to 30%, you'd have a $7,500 reduction in the value. For 30 to 50%, it would be $10,000. And from 50 to 70, it would be $1,250. And then of at least 70%, it would be a $15,000 deduction in the assessed value. I'd like to see it actually be a one-for-one. So if you're 50% disabled, you get 50% off your taxes. But we're not there yet. Baby steps. The state of Pennsylvania doesn't do anything quick.
Is there a bill before a committee that addresses this problem?
This bill is actually, this is my bill, and it's actually sitting in Veterans Affairs and Emergency Preparedness. We hope to have this out on a vote in April.
Okay. And speaking of property tax reform, I get a lot of senior citizens listening to this show who call in and say year after year, particularly during election year, they hear their politicians say, yes, we know there needs to be reform of property taxes in the state for senior citizens, and yet nothing ever seems to be done about it. What are your thoughts on property tax reform for seniors?
So we have to do something. First of all, the court case told us that we do not fund our schools equitably. So that right there brings us back to this funding source, which is real estate taxes. So we know we have to do differently. Quite frankly, if you've been in your house and you're a senior citizen, you should have either at a minimum your taxes frozen or completely eliminated. I would like to see us move away from real estate funding the schools. I would like to see it be a small increase in personal income tax, which for seniors wouldn't be affected by that because they're most of them are retired, and then see a sales tax increase, because we have to spread this burden out over all of the population and not just hit homeowners. That's just not fair.
Well, why do you think that we're constantly hearing, though, from politicians who are running for reelection that something needs to be done, and yet nothing ever seems to be done, or at least it appears that way, regarding this topic?
Yeah, I think people know that this is a problem, and I think that they don't know how to handle it. I don't think they want to take that leap of faith and put something out. I actually inherited Frank Ryan's bill, which is House Bill 13, which is the elimination of property taxes. The bill's 400 pages long. It's arduous. You can't get through it all. So we've got to find a simpler solution, something that people can readily understand, put their current information in to see what that new plan would look like for themselves. And then you build consensus that way. And people go, hey, I'm actually going to save money by going to a personal income tax and an increase in sales tax, or, you know, whatever we come up with. But it's very frustrating to me to hear politicians say, oh, we're going to do this. Well, you know, we've been saying that for 20 years. When is the right time? The right time is now. We've got to do it.
Speaking of elections, I know one of the biggest concerns that many people have, especially with the advent of artificial intelligence today, is what impact it could have on our elections from now going forward. What are your thoughts on artificial intelligence? And is there anything being done in Harrisburg to try to address that at the state level here?
We are addressing that at the state level, and I have to tell you, it is very frightening, the deep fakes that can be done with artificial intelligence. We just saw that in New Hampshire in the presidential primary. A robocall was made using a deep fake voice of President Biden that told Democrats to stay home and not to vote. That's frightening. So my bill would protect our elections against deep fakes. You would not be able to use any misrepresentation, whether it be his voice, his likeness, anything he would say or do. So you would have to, there would be absolutely a prohibition on artificially generated impersonations of a candidate, and there would be fines as well. So additionally, I got to tell you, AI goes further. You know, we're seeing artificially intelligence generate explicit child pornography. That is so frightening. So we're also looking at that. We're trying to prohibit the use of AI for the purpose of creating child pornography, as well as not just child pornography, but also, you know, putting one person's face on another person's body, and you know, putting that on the internet of someone, you know, in a compromising position or naked or, you know, whatever. It's just awful what you can do with this artificial intelligence, and it is so real. It truly is.
I know.
You can't tell. So we've got to put some guardrails on artificial intelligence. It seems to be the horse that's left the barn, and we're playing catch up, but we have to start, and we have to start now. So we hope that those bills will come before the committee in April.
Senator, I know our time is limited here, but I wanted to ask you one more question about a post you put on Twitter, which is now known as X, I guess, back on March 21st, involving an event for female veterans. I invite you to share with us what that event is all about and how female vets can sign up for this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for mentioning that. So in June, we passed a bill, 2 years ago, we passed a bill that recognized Women's Veterans Day. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback. Why do women need their own day? This is a day that recognized every woman that served prior to this bill in 1948. Only women that were a secretary or a nurse could be recognized as a veteran, which meant they couldn't use the VA healthcare system. They couldn't receive any disability rating. Now, as of 1948, every veteran, every female veteran is recognized as a veteran, regardless of what duty position they served in the military. So if you are a female veteran and would love to be honored at the Capitol in June, it's senatorpennycook.com, and you just send us your information, and we'll reach out and get a picture, and then we're going to honor Pennsylvania women veterans in June, and we have a nice luncheon if they want to come and meet other women veterans and tell their stories. There's some amazing women that have served World War II, Korea, Vietnam, you know, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, and we need to highlight their service. It's not easy to be a woman in the military, especially World War II and Korea and Vietnam. I mean, those were the women that trailblazed for follow-on women like myself that, you know, joined the military as an enlisted soldier and then was fortunate enough to go back to college, get a degree, and become an Army aviator at a time when recognized women would not be able to fly combat missions. That was a male-only field. And in my time in the military, I was able to see that change and fly combat missions in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I want to honor all women that have contributed to this great country and sacrificed for this wonderful country and recognize them for the trailblazers that they are.
I think that is wonderful. And Senator Pennycook, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I hope we can have you on in the future, too.
I would love to. It's been a great experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time today. Senator Tracy Pennycook, who represents the 24th District, senatorial district, that is, that covers parts of Berks and Montgomery counties. I thank you again for being on the show today, and have a great day.
Thanks. You as well.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back with more of Feedback on this Tuesday morning in just a bit. Stay with us.
Serving Barnesville, Schuylkill Haven, Tremont, and all of Schuylkill County, this is News Talk 830, WEEU.